The BS Report is presented by Subway. Football season is over. Footlong season is just beginning. For a limited time, get any piled high regular footlong for just $5. Any footlong, just $5. Hurry in, Subway. Eat fresh. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, it's podcast week here on the BS Report. We're going to do five. We're going to do one every day this week. We have some pretty good guests, but there's two reasons for that. First of all, I have to finish my book. If I don't deliver it in time, I'm going to get executed by Random House, which would be terrible. They'd actually murder me. So I had to take a little break from the columns this week. Unfortunately, that means the demise of my 2009 All-Star Weekend column, which I don't really feel like would have been that good anyway. So don't feel like you're missing much, because it was just one of those weekends. It was kind of sprawling. Not a lot happened. I don't think it would have been one of my better columns anyway. So maybe I saved you from 20 minutes of disappointment. That's one reason. We're going to have my friend Joe House on to discuss All-Star Weekend today. And that's one reason we're going to do podcast week. But the other reason is that Subway joined us as a sponsor. You've heard me mention many times in the podcast that I have always wanted a sponsor. And it's nice to be sponsored by a product that I actually use. We're going to get to that in the podcast. But right now, I'm going to call my buddy House. And we're going to have the same conversation we would have had last night that we always have at the end of every All-Star weekend, where I just tell him what happened and we talk about the weekend and everything. Just thought we'd do that right here in the podcast. Joe House, how you doing?
I'm fantastic.
You have the day off today. Thank you for going into work just to do this.
I wouldn't miss it. Although I'm a little surprised. This is the second podcast in less than a week between the two of us.
Right.
Is Rick Bucher not returning your calls again?
I would like to think of it as just a coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Bucher's big time. I mean, I saw him at an ESPN party on Friday night, this Waffles party, and he was interviewing Jermaine Dye. Doesn't get any bigger than that.
Did he say hi to you?
Yeah, he did say hi. I tried to crash his little interview setup and have him interview me, and he just started laughing within 10 seconds and then kicked me out of there.
Like,
I wasn't as important as Jermaine Dye.
I don't really blame him.
How many people would recognize Jermaine Dye?
How many people recognize you?
Not that many. Well, let's talk about the WWE All-Star Weekend.
So already, that's the tone you're going to take?
Yeah, that's the tone I'm going to take, because I've been to a WrestleMania. I've been to a Royal Rumble. I have been to various WWE events, and rarely have I been to an event that was as scripted
as the
NBA All-Star Weekend 2009. So what do you want to talk about first, slam dunk?
Well, look, from my perspective...
Let's talk about the game first, since that's the biggest
thing.
Yeah,
of all the All-Star Weekends in the four major sports, the NBA one is by far the best, right?
Usually, not this year.
Well, I don't know. I from my perspective, you always get a couple legendary, iconic performances. It falls on the perfect place in the calendar.
Hold on. What were the iconic performances this year?
I'm going to get to them. I have two.
Okay, what were they?
One was the Shaq dance.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
I'm looking for moments that give me the chills, and when I saw the Shaq dance with that music, with the DJs, the whole thing,
right.
I wanted to get up with and do a little Jabberwocky.
It was fantastic. You know, I think if you're measuring Shaq against the other great NBA centers over the course of NBA history, Russell, Hakeem, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Walton, there's somebody I'm missing. Oh, Kareem.
Sure.
Moses. That would really be the company he's in. Shaq's the only one who pulls off that dance.
You don't think Moses could have done that dance?
No. Not only could Moses not have done it, he would not have done it.
Well, the other thing that I really, really, really enjoyed from the weekend And since the BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects, I feel like I can comfortably refer to this.
Joe Mead has his finger on the bleep button right now. He's poised.
Look, I work for the federal government. I'm good at using appropriate language.
Okay.
Nate Robinson's dunk over Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Had as an added bonus the scraping of Nate's, let's say, undercarriage.
Yeah.
On the top of Dwight Howard's head.
Yeah, he didn't just take his title. He rubbed his genitals on his head.
It really happened.
Joe Mead, we can say that, right? Joe Mead?
Yeah, Bill, sure. Go ahead.
I mean, that's what happened. It's an accurate assessment of what transpired. I agree. I had a few issues with it. First of all, I know Dwight Howard's trying to be a good guy, but at some point you're actually helping the other guy beat you.
Well,
and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, and really, just to pick up on your theme, you're absolutely right. So much of that was so scripted and over the top. You would never in a million bazillion years see MJ and Neek, you know, hamming it up around a superhero theme.
And that's the big difference between now and then. And they actually were showing the different All-Star Saturdays all week on NBA TV, and that 87 and 88 slam dunk, legitimately competitive. Like, Neek and MJ, Neek was destroyed after, which one should he have won, 87?
87
he should have won.
Yeah.
Neek was crushed. I think he was more bummed out when he lost that dunk contest than he was when he lost the shootout with Bird in the 88 playoffs. He was much more crestfallen. But they really wanted to beat each other, and it was a competitive thing. It was an ego thing. And now it's more of like a collaborative, fun showcase. At the same time, I thought Howard, during the ceremony when Nate won, I think Howard kind of looked like Bret Hart after Shawn Michaels stole his title in Montreal.
And he realized, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hey,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. I thought you were going to give me the title again. I thought that was the script.
Right.
Vince McMahon screwed him.
The thing with Howard, his dunks were sublime, I thought, but he did them in the wrong order. The dunk from the free throw line kind of needs to stop. I'm kind of over it.
Well,
it's really not the icing on the cake.
Well, how about this? How about one guy takes off before the free throw line? I've seen 15 times I've seen somebody dunk with 1 foot over the line.
That's true.
Not once has anybody even like tried to go behind the line and missed.
Did the basket that was purportedly 12 feet high really look
no
close?
Way.
Yeah, okay.
There's no way.
That's where I was, too.
I thought it was
like it on TV.
First of all, I thought it was 11 tops.
Yeah.
When I thought he was going to do that, the 11, and then bring the 12 back for the next round.
Right. That would have been a sequence.
Second of all, way too easy.
Yeah, well.
The way he did it, I felt like he had room for another foot. And my feeling is that maybe Orlando or the NBA was worried that coming down from that type of height that he'd get hurt. So they told him, you can do this, but only if it's 11 feet. And we'll claim that it's 12, but it's really 11.
I don't know. It kind of takes away from the whole thing.
He did that with ease.
His dunk off the side of the backboard was the winner. That was the clear best dunk of the night to me.
Oh, see, I was there.
Yeah.
And I was in the section. I was about 10 rows up. I was in the same section, sitting 4 seats away from the one, the only Mr. Pat O'Brien.
Wow.
I was with my friend Connor, and after Pat sat down with his girlfriend, we both looked at each other, and then after 5 minutes, we were just doing all the jokes. You don't know what I do to you. You don't know what I do to you. Just doing that. And then it led to a transcendent moment when Marv Albert was walking up the stairs and shook Pat's hand. I was just happy to be there. But anyway, so we had this nice bird's eye view, and the dunk that was really, really amazing that got like a 42, maybe because he missed it a million times, was the Rudy Fernandez dunk.
No, I know. That was
ridiculous.
It was, but they ruined it with all the tries and Powell trying to do the behind the back to bounce it off the backboard.
Well, that was stupid.
It was stupid. That's right.
Yeah.
If he had killed it in the first 3 tries, that was, degree of difficulty wise.
But, yeah, but you know what, though? The odds of actually executing that dunk are like 1 in 10. Because you have to duck your head, you have to catch it, and it just has to be perfect how you throw it.
I'm agreeing with you.
Well, but if they're going to give people 2 minutes to complete a dunk, you can't penalize the guy for taking five tries to complete a crazy dunk.
Yeah, but you can't take away the fact that it's just sort of, you know, it's the Chris Anderson effect.
Yeah.
At some point, it just gets to be a bit too much. It still was unbelievable. I've been enjoying the YouTubes.
I was sitting with Connor, Connor Show, the guy who does the guys that have my friends on my podcast. So we did, and this is why it's so much more fun to go, because we did an escalating pyramid betting scheme. So we did $10 on what's that called? Shooting Stars.
The first
competition with the WNBA player and the Fat Legend, and
sure.
So
that's the name.
We did odds or evens. He got first pick. I got the middle two picks. He got the last pick. So I had Detroit and somebody else, and I ended up winning that. So we did double or nothing for the next round, which was the skills, whatever.
Right.
So I ended up winning that because I had Rose. Double or nothing, next round to 3-point. And we split them all, and somehow I won with Daquan Cook, who was like the last pick.
Speaking of iconic performances.
Right. So now I'm up like $60. And we go double or nothing last round. So I said, I'll give you the choice. You can have Dwight and Rudy, and I'll take Nate Robinson and J.R. Smith, or you can have those guys, and I'll take Dwight and Rudy. So he took Dwight and Rudy, which I thought was the right move.
But, yeah.
But I have to say, gambling made that, it pushed it to a whole other level. I've never been more excited to watch Devin Harris throw a bounce pass through a contrived circle or whatever those things were. Come on, Devin! but anyway, in person, the dunks, I just think they translate better than they do on TV. And, you know, the Dwight Howard dunks had no buzz when he did them. Like that
really?
First dunk, I think he got like, what do you get for the first one? You get a 50?
He got a 50. That was the problem, too. That was another problem. One of many problems.
I mean, it got no reaction. To get a 50 in the dunk contest, people should be going bonkers.
Yep. And it needs to happen. You know, you got to save the 50 for the end.
Well, that was his big mistake, was he should have brought that big basket out for the second round.
I totally agree.
Maybe they told him he couldn't?
I don't know. I don't know what the explanation is. That was the most dramatic of all the sort of circumstances in the contest, right? The time it took them to roll that thing up, because what was not dramatic at all was him running and getting into the fake phone booth. And it took way too long.
Yeah, you texted me that last night. He was in the phone booth for 45 seconds, came out, and didn't have the cape on yet.
Right.
We were worried something happened. Yeah, we were worried something happened. Maybe to release the tension, something happened in there. How do you come out and not have the cape on?
Right.
He
had a different jersey on, and he didn't have the cape. But we know that all he did was take off a top jersey. So what is he doing with the other 40 seconds?
We have to discuss him a little bit, because he's kind of emerging as this really super personable, gentle giant. He's kind of like a wittier, less contrived Shaq.
Wittier?
Well, they're in the time.
He hasn't even given himself a nickname yet.
During timeouts, they were doing this Valentine's Day thing on the scoreboard on Saturday night, or maybe it was Sunday. No, Saturday. And so Dwight Howard was like singing these love songs, and it was really funny. He was really belting them out, singing these Valentine's love songs, and it's a tough one for me. Who's funnier? Because obviously Shaq is one of the funniest players we've ever had. Actually, Shaq's probably still funnier. What am I saying?
Yeah, Shaq's funnier.
Shaq had that Corleone analogy with Penny Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, and Kobe Bryant. That was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Well, that didn't tell me how my tastes.
Yeah, that was good.
Those are two pretty good ones.
Joe Mead, can he say that? Do we have to beep?
Tell me how my rear tastes?
Joe Mead is
about it, Bill.
Joe Mead's flatlining right now.
It was reported in the news, widely reported.
Joe Mead, get Michael Phelps and his bong out of the studio and start editing this podcast, please.
Why don't we go with rear?
Tell me how my rear tastes?
I think people will remember.
It's a free-flowing conversation, for God's sakes.
It does touch on mature themes.
The first three events, like heading into the dunk contest, and I've been to now, I think, 7 All-Star Saturdays.
Right.
Including one with you.
Yep.
Where we wore, what did we wear, bird jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you wore a bird jersey and I wore...
No, you wore a bird jersey and I wore the Indiana State jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't believe I did that.
Needless to say, no dates with us that night. But That was the worst, going into the slam dunk, the worst Saturday I've ever been to. It was just, the three-point was terrible.
Wait. Including horse?
Well, but that wasn't part of it. That
oh,
was
I
a
see
different
what you're
thing.
Saying.
And we're
okay.
going to get to horse in a second.
Okay. It was the worst?
The first three events, through 2 hours, the worst event I've been to that's ever, you know, ever NBA related. Just horrible.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. First of all, the shooting stars thing they got to get rid of.
Yeah,
you just
got to
get rid of it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of 20 minutes. It does nothing. The crowd's not interested.
Right. No, that's the big part. You don't get any buzz out of it. People don't get excited for it.
Why not add two more guys to the dunk contest and go to six? Well, who made the rule we have to have four guys? Have six guys in round one, top two advance.
I agree with that.
Well, who's against more dunking?
Right.
And then, you know, if anything, why does the three-point shootout have six guys, but the dunk contest has four guys? Why do I want to watch six guys shoot three-pointers?
The other thing on the three-point shooting, it would be nice to have some guys who can shoot three-pointers in the
yeah, that would
competition.
Help. Well, what do you think of this? Somebody emailed me this just to mix it up. Let's say we just get rid of the shooting stars, which will probably happen anyway because it just seems like the WNBA. Oh, I have some good news for you. WNBA probably done after this year. I don't know if that's good news, but at
yeah,
least
I'm not,
not going to
call
somewhere.
That good news.
Yeah,
but.
It's not good news. I take that back because, yeah. You know, it's nice that we have a professional league that girls can aspire to play, and unfortunately it loses money hand over fist. And it's a bad business plan. So at some point, at what point does it just become charity?
Right.
So anyway, we get rid of that first event. What happens if for a slam dunk for three and for that stupid, dribbling point guard thing, what if they just use the actual All-Stars?
To compete in what?
What if the dunk contest was guys who were in the All-Star game?
How would you get them to agree?
You don't think LeBron would do it?
LeBron is going to do it. That's the thing. That's one observation I was going to make about maybe the return of competitiveness. He's not hamming it up with anybody. He's going to come bring the thunder, I think.
I think it bugs him that to watch like the attention Dwight Howard gets, and he's just thinking, man, I could destroy Dwight Howard.
What if Dwayne Wade and LeBron do it next year?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're
like,
right.
Why couldn't you get just four All-Stars?
Yeah.
Or
and,
three.
And
whoever
Amari.
Wants to do it.
How about
yeah, Amari?
Amari would be a great dunker. He
or maybe you
dunker.
Get three All-Stars. There's so many different things they could do. I would have had a D-leaguer guy in there. I don't know. Just
that would
just
be a nice warm-up, actually. The D-league, you know, you replace the Shooting Stars thing with a D-league dunk contest and make it prime time.
Sure.
That gives everybody, you know, the possibility that they would show up, the headliners.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Well, let's talk about horse.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm biased, and you are too, because
right.
We've been talking about this since college. I wrote the first column in 98. When we saw the lineup, we were both concerned of who the three guys that they picked, because to us, a lot of what would have made horse work in a perfect world is you get guys who are charismatic, have personality. They're going to trash talk. Like there was this one moment on Saturday when, Joe Johnson was going to make a free throw with his eyes closed. So Durant walked over and he was kind of staring at him, trying to psych him out.
Yeah.
It was the only time those guys really interacted. It was really funny. And I was thinking, you know, I said from day one, Pierce had to be in this because
right.
He's one of the funniest guys. He's going to talk the whole time. He's going to have a running commentary. And for them not to convince him to be in this was just a massive mistake. But,
yep.
That was my biggest problem with it, was the guys were just too drab.
Yeah, I think that they kind of had it reversed. You need charismatic players, and you need kind of a straight guy to be the head broadcaster of it. Like somebody like Marv calling horse or Mike Breen calling horse with players that are really interacting and lively.
I couldn't hear the broadcast, so you don't think Ernie was the right choice?
Well, Ernie was great. You know, Ernie's always great, but C-Webb and Kenny Smith were just a smidge over the top for my taste. I'll leave it at that.
You know, Kenny always gets good reviews from my readers, but when I was taking a quick look through the emails that I got after All-Star Weekend, people seem to think in general that he was trying too hard.
That's exactly right.
Like there was like he was trying to make up for the lack of Barkley by just going over the top and hyping everything. I also, got a number of emails from people who were just perplexed by Reggie Miller for the entire weekend, just saying how surly and bitter he was. Like, why are you there if you're unhappy with everything?
That's right.
I've never understood the Reggie thing. I think he's a really astute broadcaster and obviously experienced and has the credentials, but he doesn't really click with the guys that he does the games with.
Well, the funniest thing about the Reggie comments were the fact that Cheryl Miller, when she interviewed the winners of all those various competitions, basically told those winners the criticisms that the guys in the booth were levying against them, and Reggie was the main sort of architect of all of the criticism. So
yeah.
That was funny and awkward.
The whole weekend was a big punch bowl, and he was the turd. Hey, I forgot to mention something. This is our first podcast with our new sponsor, Subway.
Oh, and you didn't tell me that.
I know. Not only did I not tell you that, but I'm calling you right now on the Subway Fresh Take hotline. I am.
From
it's a Subway
on,
Fresh Take hotline.
If I'm ever on another podcast, and I think that's a big if, I would like to be sitting here with a 12-inch double meat tuna fish with provolone, green peppers, and lettuce, if that's possible.
Let me do my intro again. Let's pretend I'm calling you right now. All right, let's go to the Subway Fresh Take hotline. Our friend Joe House on the line. Joe, how you doing?
Oh, hold on a second. I'm eating this tuna sandwich over here.
That's not funny.
I'm so excited to have a sponsor of a product that I actually use.
Yeah.
There's a Subway 5 minutes from my house, and I go over there once a week and just go nuts.
Do you go double meat? You ever go double meat?
I don't go double meat, but I will go the 12-inch every once in a while.
Yeah, 12-inch double meat is my thing. 12-inch double meat turkey, 12-inch double meat tuna.
You know what they get me with? They have the Baked Lays at the counter.
Baked Lays are the best.
The little 99-cent bags.
Yep.
And even if I have Baked Lays at home, I can't resist the little bag because I know I'm going to eat it in my car on the way home.
You know I always
do. They do a nice job with that.
I get one cheddar and one plain.
I also, a couple other things I like about Subway. And I don't want to be accused of pumping up our sponsors. I just enjoy
openly
Subway.
Pandering.
Yeah, maybe this is a little pandering.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that I can see them make my sandwich.
Me too. That's
right. I like
right.
the fact that I can see their plastic wrap in their hands, so I don't have to worry about anybody having duty in their fingers. And I
maybe
like
they should change that to their slogan: no duty on the fingers.
I like seeing them pick the cold cuts out. I've never not enjoyed Subway.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. I want to be their new Jared. That's my goal. I think people are tired of Jared. I think they need Simmons now.
No duty on the finger, Simmons.
And, you know, to get food praise from Joe House is really like getting your basketball ability blessed by Michael Jordan or something. You were the one who turned me on early to Panda Express.
Yeah, I love Panda Express.
And I was like, Panda, really? Panda? Yeah, it's excellent. What's your top five? You don't have to rank them because we don't want to make our new sponsor mad. But your pantheon. What's your Mount Rushmore of takeout food?
Oh wow! So Chick-fil-A is definitely in there.
Chick-fil-A's in there.
Yeah, that's been in there for a dozen years now, and that's really mainly an East Coast thing, I think. Has
I know,
Chick-fil-A penetrated the West yet?
We have one in the Redondo Beach Mall in the food court. Which means you have to park in the mall and then like take the elevator up to the fourth floor. It's kind of a hassle. It really makes me angry that they don't have one near my house.
Yeah.
Although it's probably good for me from a weight standpoint.
You know, I don't think their food is like calorie wise, not all that bad.
Really?
It's among the healthiest fast food.
It made me mad when McDonald's and Burger King tried to rip off their chicken sandwich.
McDonald's did a pretty good job, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
That's
why it did make me mad for long because it was delicious, but I didn't like the principle of them ripping
That's
off.
Right.
I would have my Mount Rushmore. I think would be include Chick-fil-A definitely.
Yeah, Arby's is way up there for me.
Arby's, Subway, and Panda Express.
That's pretty good. That's a tough one to argue with.
If I'm hungry and I'm on the highway and I'm looking for fast food. And I see one of those four, I'm pulling over.
Yeah.
If I see a Chick-fil-A and I'm on the left side, and this actually happened, I almost killed my wife like about a year ago. Saw the Chick-fil-A, did the Smoke and the Bandit cross three lanes? Almost caused a 50-car accident. You know, while we're on the subject, we found out when we went to Vegas, that we drove to Vegas last year, and you are like a superhero for when you're hungry, being able to spot signs from like 2 miles away.
I do get that telescopic vision.
It was unbelievable. It was you, me, and Jacko were driving, and House is hungry. When House gets hungry, really, it's everything. The world has to stop.
See, I know the signs by their shapes. Even if they're square.
It's like people who are blind can still like drive a car or something. Like, you're spotting these signs 2 miles away. We can't even see what you're looking at. You're like, there's an Arby's down there. We're like, what? And then 2 miles later, there's the Arby's. It was amazing.
Yeah.
All right. We did a major sidetrack here. Anyway, we're very happy to have Subway on. I think Subway, though, I really feel like don't they have those cards where I could get free Subway sandwiches for a year?
Yes.
I think you and I should have those cards.
We should work on that. The only thing about Subway that could take it to another level for me is if they added the whole pickle. If I could get a whole pickle along with the all the regular stuff.
You mean like that?
On the side.
The pickles they have in those old school delis?
Yeah.
Those big ass sour pickles?
Yeah. Like do they have Potbelly out there?
No.
Potbelly is a sandwich shop here in the East Coast, and I think it started in Chicago. They have great pickles.
All right, back to horse.
Yep.
So, were you bored? Were you, like, in person it was much better, I think, than it was on TV.
I wasn't bored because I was rooting for it. You know, I was so excited to see it. But I just wanted the guys to be a little more hyped up.
I got to say, but from being there, Durant was nervous. First 15 minutes.
So maybe that was it.
He missed a couple shots, and his body language went on him. And he got the four letters. And it was kind of amazing. It was really stupid, but it was amazing to watch him turn it around. And then you could see him gaining confidence. There was one commercial where he started shooting threes and he was making them. And I was with Scoop Jackson, Chris Palmer, and a couple other people. And all of us looked at each other like, uh-oh. All of a sudden he started making 30-footers.
It was a little quiet and a little dull is not the right word. But it really picked up when OJ went up into the crowd and shot that shot.
Yeah, and as it turned out, there was like three or four memorable shots. My biggest rule tweak would be this. I think one out of every three shots, you have to do something crazy. And you maybe even have, well, something like you go in the crowd, you do some sort of, you know.
The shot from the computer table?
But here's the thing. Yeah, shot from the computer table. I think you have a judge there who is the judge of crazy.
Oh.
And you explain the move to him. So you've like you're Durant. You shoot your 225 footers. Now you have to do a crazy move. You explain to the judge of crazy. All right, I'm gonna go sit on the computer table. Does that qualify? And the judge says yes. I stamp my crazy approval to that shot.
Is it inappropriate to suggest that Ron Artest would be the perfect judge of crazy?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be a good next career move for him.
Yeah, if not him, Kenny would be good. Kenny would be great as the judge of crazy.
Yeah, Kenny would be good as a judge of crazy. I think even C-Web would be good.
Yeah.
But I think that would mix it up. And, you know, what happened at the end was, and it was really funny, Durant's last shot that he made to win it that O.J. Mayo missed. It was in the right corner. So that's right where we were standing.
Yeah.
And for the last half hour, we were trying, because TNT had that crane. You know, they had that camera crane where the camera can swing in.
Yeah.
So the actual crane was like about 20 feet. So we decided an awesome shot would be if you shot a three-pointer over the crane.
Like over
you put
the crane
where your arc of your shot would be, so you'd have to arc it over the crane.
Ooh.
So we were trying to get those guys to do that during the commercial. So then finally Durant was over, and we had thought we had talked him into shooting over the crane.
Yeah.
So before that last shot, we said, he came in the corner, we're like, oh, shoot over the crane. He's like, nah, man, I'm winning this.
Oh.
Like, yeah, he got a little competitive. I liked it.
Well, I wish we'd seen some of that on the TV.
Yeah. Well, he kind of mumbled it to us.
I wish he'd said it out loud.
So, I'll tell you, though, you know, granted, stupid, mundane competition. Durant got the eye of the tiger. I liked it.
Well, and he got hot at the right time.
He wanted to win that thing. He was into it. Like when Joe Johnson had that spinning finger thing and he missed the layup.
Yep.
And Durant was like, so in the commercial, Durant walked over and he was like, man, I would have been out if he'd made that. So then later on, Joe Johnson tried it again and missed it. And when he missed it, Durant like did like the big fist pump.
Yeah.
He was like legitimately excited. This guy's wanted to win.
Yeah, that is one, just a quick sidebar. Durant was not very good at those layup ones.
No.
Why are those? Why can't he do those?
You know, that's one of those weird horse things, though. We used to play horse all the time.
That's
We'd have
true.
Shots at you just like you had a mental block.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It was pretty amazing to watch him make a couple of those 30-footers, though, just being like 5 feet away. Like, that guy was put on the earth to make jump shots.
Yeah, 30-footers.
Yeah, we were looking at him, and he was standing next to O.J. Mayo and Joe Johnson. And he's like about 5 inches taller than O.J. Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
His arms hung lower than O.J. Mayo's arms.
Yeah, he's got the perfect jump shooter body, I think.
His arms have to be a foot longer than O.J. Mayo's.
I believe it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's crazy. Like, he's just, when, you know, he looked like he's a solid 6'10 to me.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to grow anymore, but I think he's going to fill into his body a little
right,
bit.
Right.
So anyway, for next year, Durant obviously comes back to defend the title. I think you have to get Pierce, and I think you get Steve Nash.
Wow, that would be great.
Because Steve Nash can do soccer once. I talked to Steve Nash. I finally met him at Friday at the Technology Summit. And we talked for a long time. I really liked him. He's one of the, now he's moved into my favorite non-Celtic group. But he said they didn't really pursue him for the horse.
Oh. I understand the idea of trying to push up some lesser-known stars or some, you know, the early in their career guys. But it's really important to get some guys that are comfortable with talking to each other in the crowd, I think.
Well,
and Nash and Pee-Pee, holy cow, that would be good.
Well, do you think that could work in the arena with each guy mic'd?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Why not? Why couldn't it work?
Could it work in place of WNBA legend shooting crappy shots game?
I think so.
The only thing is it took like about an hour. Would you tape it? Would you tape it ahead of time and then?
No. Why would you have to tape it? Just do it. What else is everybody doing? What's wrong with having it from 5 to 6 or 6 to 7 on a Saturday night?
I don't know.
It was exciting. I mean, it was exciting even with its imperfect execution.
Yeah, my expectations were low because I wasn't happy with the lineup, and I thought, you know, they'd have some kinks, and I'm pleased with how, you know, the first edition. It was a nice start.
Yeah.
Nice start to what will hopefully be a franchise. I did think it was funny that, you know, in 1989 or whenever we started talking about this, I don't think either of us said, and instead of horse, we'll call it Pepsi.
That's true. That was
yeah. That part depressed me a little.
Right.
It's like, all right.
I mean, right, exactly. No, I don't mind a sponsor, but
I really think we're probably 5 years away from the Chevrolet NBA Finals.
That's probably right. Although if they played Subway, I'd be fine with it.
The Subway NBA Finals, I would be head over heels for. That would be so great.
Subway horse.
What? Anything else from the? Oh, I never told you about the weekend.
No, you didn't tell me anything.
So on Friday night, first of all, there are no celebrities there this weekend, and I think that had a lot to do with the economy and, you know, a lot that Nick Lachey, Vanessa Minnillo type group. It's become a cottage industry for those people where they basically get paid to come to events, and the events seem bigger. So you see like Paris Hilton at NBA All-Star Weekend. That means she got like $200,000 to be there. Right?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, or to appear at a party.
Secrets that us common folk don't know anything about.
Exactly. So, you know, now the economy's turned. There weren't a lot of parties. There were a few. Not as many as usual.
The only one I care about.
The
Maxim party?
No, they don't have that. That's only at the Super Bowl, and they've kind of killed that. Like, at the Super Bowl, it was terrible this year.
Wait, I went to the Maxim party in L.A. 4 years, 5 years ago.
Yeah, the Maxim's out. They don't.
Okay.
Nobody's spending money anymore.
All right.
So, one of the there's only a couple of big parties. Like, Nash had a party.
I bet that was cool.
It was like a 944 party. There's a couple other ones.
Is he as cool as he looks?
Nash?
Yeah.
I love Nash.
Yeah.
Nash... You would talk to him for 10 minutes and not even think he's an athlete.
Right.
He just seems like he's somebody we went to college with.
Yeah, he's a guy that strikes me as like he's going to do something amazing post-basketball.
Well, this documentary series that Connor and I came up with, 30 for 30,
yep.
Which I've told you about. So starting in the fall of 2009, we're going to have 30 documentaries about the 30 years of ESPN that are going to run over the course of the next 2 years. So this is an idea that I had that I sent to a couple of my bosses, and then Connor had a great tweak to it, and then we've been working on it ever since, and now we've gone and gotten all these filmmakers to do them.
Is this the official unveiling of the 30?
I guess it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been me and Connor basically this whole time, and another guy who does documentaries for us, John Dahl, has helped develop it. It's been the three of us, and our friend Mike Tone. So anyway.
So not only is this the unveiling of the Subway podcast, but this is also the unveiling of the 30 for 30.
Right. So my initial idea was that we do kind of like Sports Century, but we'd get maybe five or six Hollywood filmmakers to go do those for us. We'd go out and we'd hire, you know, I didn't know who, Michael Moore, Spike Lee, whoever. We'd get
right.
a couple and we'd pay them to do these big things. So Connor said, you know what? I think we can get 30 people. So then we started planning it. We came up with the topics and we decided maybe there would be a domino effect where if we could get five or six people in it, maybe more people would come and so on. So anyway, long story short, Steve Nash is doing one of the 30 for 30 documentaries. He's got this production company and he's doing a documentary on this guy, Terry Fox, who ran across Canada and had one leg.
Wow.
And he was fighting cancer and, it was this huge story back in like 1980, 1981. That's when Nash was growing up and this guy was just a hero to everybody in Canada. This is a story nobody knows.
Right. I've never heard of the guy.
Yeah. And these are the kind of documentaries we're going to do. And it's really going to be cool. So anyway, Nash is already thinking about this stuff and
yeah.
what his career. He's doing these charity soccer games and all this different stuff. At the same time, I felt bad for him because we even talked about it a little. It was like, you know, I told him how I compared him to Jennifer Aniston in a column about, you
know,
his quest to win a title and her quest to have a kid. He totally appreciated it. And,
yeah.
and you know, I think I said, like, do you feel you missed your window? And he's like, you know, I don't know. I'm still hopeful that we can turn around this year. But at the same time, you know, I just keep thinking back to if this didn't happen, you know, Joe Johnson breaks his face.
Right.
The suspensions don't happen in 07.
Yeah.
Amari can come back in time in 2006. And, it's just weird to actually talk to somebody versus writing about them, but just to actually see it in their eyes where they're just kind of have that look in their eyes like, crap, I think I might have missed my window.
Huh.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I understand.
But where were we going with this? Oh, with the celebrity thing. So, there were no celebrities in Phoenix, and I can vouch for that because I was asked to appear in a celebrity event.
Wow. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
That's
how far it's fallen.
Wow.
It was a very cool event. It was the T-Mobile shot of a lifetime.
Okay, let's hear about it.
So they got these five celebrities along with myself they had this little half basketball court set up and you got to take three shots for charity. You could win, the most you could win was 50,000.
Wow.
So they had, and you won that for your charity. So I did it for the Jimmy Fund.
That's great.
Props to back home.
Yep.
So the way they had the little circles, so it was like you made a 12 footer in front of the foul line and it was 25K. Or you go right to the corner, go for 50K, or you could go like 18 footer from the right side of the key for 40K or whatever. So my whole game plan was I was going to go try to make the 25K. And then if I made it one of the first two tries, I'd try to go for the corner for the 50.
So it was progressive?
You got three chances. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you made your 25, you could upgrade that 25 to 50.
Okay.
So Eliza Dushku.
Yeah.
She was there.
Okay.
Joe Hess would have liked.
Yes, Joe Hess does like.
She's very, 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 very pretty.
She's in a movie I just watched over the weekend called Bottle Shock.
Oh.
Nice little movie to watch with your loved one.
But is there nudity?
No.
Okay. She comes out, throws up the 25er, rolls around, goes in.
All right.
Misses the second one. Goes to the top of the key, banks in the 35er, and we're off.
Wow.
So I'm going like fourth, and she's already, now I can't follow her. Jermaine Dupri comes up and makes the 50 in like his second try. And then like Donald Faison made like a 40 or something, I forget.
Okay.
So I decide I'm just going to go from the corner and try to make the 50.
Yep.
So they give me the ball, and it is like this. I can't even describe what this. It wasn't a ball. It was like this. It was coated in plastic, like a beach ball.
Oh no!
It was all slippery, and it had the T-Mobile thing because, you know, they're trying to promote T-Mobile.
So it was just like the ball that the NBA tried out for half a season 2 years ago.
But heavier and much more slippery. So now I'm holding the ball, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have no idea. I'm going to shoot this. I have no idea where this is going. And I airballed the first one. And it just got heckled.
Well, that's a rookie mistake, by the way. Why did you go to the corner? You always go to the one where you face up. You can use the backboard.
It was terrible. It was, believe me, I've hashed it over 100 times. It was terrible. Dushku totally threw me off.
Well, that's understandable.
In a lot of ways.
She threw me off and I was watching the movie she's in.
Yeah, she threw me off for a lot of ways. So then second one, brick. Third one, I thought I was going to make, just missed it. And I won nothing. I you were guaranteed $10,000 for the charity.
I was going to say, I hope you sent the Jimmy Fund a check.
I owe the Jimmy Fund a massive apology.
I agree.
Massive, massive apology. Fortunately for me, the dude who went ahead of me was the guy from Chuck.
Chuck himself?
Zach Levi?
Wow.
Is that his name? Zach Gifford?
There's no amount of money that I could have come up with that name.
But Zach somebody. And he missed all three of his shots, and that made me feel a lot better.
That is better.
But I think I might have been the only one who threw up an air ball. But if you felt the ball, you wouldn't have blamed me.
Yeah,
it wasn't like a real thing.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. So now I'm thinking I could parlay my fake celebrity into maybe – they've asked me to be in the celebrity game, mainly because it's on ESPN, but I think maybe I get in shape and I bang bodies with Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that'll be the end of that'll be my manifest destiny. That'll be where it ends for me.
He was sucking wind. The only thing you got to be careful with Rapaport is he might throw an elbow at you. I'm sure he's heard about your wife trying to run him down.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but he had 7 fouls in the first half. And then was bragging about it at halftime. Was like, New York City street ball, baby!
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. We might have some sort of a Lambert Parish situation. So, the moral of the story is, if you're ever in one of these events, go shoot straight on so you can get help from the backboard.
That's right. Exactly.
Alright, so.
That was noteworthy. I like that. That's a good story.
Couple emails for you.
Okay.
Fryer in Santa Monica said, when Dwight Howard came out for Nate Robinson's dunk, was I the only one hoping that Dwight would turn around as Nate jumped in the air, pick him up, and hurl him into the air for a dunk and dunk him through the basket? That would have been amazing. Lawrence in New York writes, it's official. Kevin Durant has that killer instinct that could take over games. After that comeback at horse, he has to be higher than Yao Ming on the trade value list. Never has a horse game meant so much to the history of basketball. This is Durant's version of LeBron's 48-point classic at Detroit. Don't deny it, Simmons. What do you think of that?
That's funny. It's not true, but it's funny.
I got a million emails from people wanting me to mention how fat Chris Tucker was.
I mean, seriously, I watched a lot of the game last night from a bar, and it was a topic of conversation around the bar. I had this conversation with 4 different people. Chris Tucker ate Chris Tucker.
Well, Denim in Idaho says that Chris Tucker is going to replace Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's House 3, but he's not going to have to wear a fat suit.
He's got it on already.
Yeah.
That's right.
I thought that was good.
He could play Magic Johnson in, you know, I don't know what kind of a funny film thing, but he could play Magic right now.
John in Boston emailed about my trade value column. Very upset that I mentioned the top five head case team from the 98 draft. Bonzi Wells, Ricky Davis, Keon Clark, Rafer Alston, and Jerome James.
Yes.
He writes, do you realize that you just picked 5 other guys over Reuben Patterson? Who was also in that draft, who somehow I missed when I looked at the list.
Oh my gracious.
How about that team?
What was going on that year?
I don't know. High THC level that year.
Yes, that's right.
Steven in Burbank says, you realize that there's an entire generation of readers who only know Ricky Davis from your columns and podcasts, right? I'm a casual NBA fan, so I love learning more in your columns, but I thought you should know every time I read or hear Ricky Davis from you, I picture a guy in a headband throwing firecrackers at a gas station. You know what? I think that's what you should picture.
That's a totally accurate reflection.
Interesting email about my trade Viacom from Curtis in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Chris Paul's flaw is not that he can be posted up. His flaw is that he has a little too much Johnny McEnroe, meaning John McEnroe. He is way too easily and way too often affected by the officiating. The key difference between tennis and hoops is that while both of them could individually rise through that incredible mental focus, Paul's antics have an immediate impact on his team and they will quickly fall apart. I've seen it happen more than once. He's been tossed from games in which he was in street clothes. You just can't trust his leadership abilities, and that is a flaw great enough that should move him lower in the ranking.
Hmm.
Great player, I say he wins zero titles until he matures.
Hmm.
And that's something I haven't totally noticed. I was at a game this year where I thought he was mad at his coach and just had like a weird aura about him. I'm going to start looking for that, though.
Yeah, I'll look for it, too. He doesn't strike me as one. I mean, you know, my first blush reaction, though, is that he doesn't strike me as a guy that I'm aware of him constantly bitching at the refs.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I haven't seen enough of him to.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, so I'm going to start looking for that.
Okay.
Joey from Tallahassee asks, what was the bigger surprise, that A-Rod did steroids or that Sports Illustrated broke a major story?
I'm giggling.
You could have laughed at that.
I am laughing.
You should do the Ed McMahon for some of this. In the Yao Ming thing I mentioned, you know, got me thinking who was the top 10 most famous athletes in the world.
Yeah.
So Dave Ingrey from Chester, I don't know where Chester is. He just said Chester, like I'm supposed to know what state that is.
Another country.
He Googled as many famous athletes as he could think of and ranked them by number of hits in the millions.
He's clever. Chester is clever.
So Ronaldo, 55.3
okay.
million.
Right.
Kaka, 31.0. Is that a name? Who's Kaka?
I don't know, but I'm glad that they don't have it on their hands at Subway.
You spell it K-A-K-A. I have no idea who that is.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure it's a soccer player.
No doubt.
Or maybe a cricket player?
Not a driver, right? Not a Formula One driver?
Let's wake Joe Mead up from his nap. Joe
yes,
Mead.
Yes.
Can you tell us who Kaka is while we're doing this?
Kaka.
Kaka?
He's a Brazilian soccer player.
Kaka!
Kaka!
Oh, no.
What league is he in?
I have no idea, Bill. I call Mark Stein. He follows that.
What an unfortunate name. Kaka. I don't even. There's
maybe
nothing I can say that won't get bleeped right now.
Top five most unfortunate names.
Kaka.
Yeah, Satan. Kaka.
Kaka.
I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, that's like having the name Poopy, like from France.
Right.
So he was second. How do you say that name? Ronaldinho.
Oh, Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho. Whatever.
Ronaldinho.
People have emailed me about my pronunciation problems. And the two things I can't do is pronunciate names or pronounce names or speak English. That's that. And I can't get music lyrics right, as anybody who ever went to college or hung out with me after college can attest.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything. So he was third at 20.2. David Beckham, 20.1.
Okay.
Michael Phelps, 20.0. Michael Owens, I don't know who that is, 15.4.
I think he's a soccer guy.
Joe Mead. Michael Owens?
I thought it was Michael Owen.
Oh, maybe that's who it is, Michael Owen.
Then, yeah, he's an English soccer player.
That guy just added an S. Tiger Woods, 13.6.
I'm a little surprised by that.
Jeff Gordon, 12.1. A-Rod, 10.8. Sharapova, 10.6. Federer, 8.0. Now, that's interesting that Sharapova has been Googled more times than Federer, but it makes sense. I don't know if that means she's more famous. It means people are just looking for porn pictures.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, not an exact science, but interesting. I still think Yao is in the top 10 because of the Far East connection.
He definitely is, and Tiger's ahead of some of those soccer players, too.
I got a crazy amount of feedback on the John Tesh clip that we ran in the trade value column.
And well-deserved.
Now, and I never do this. I never change what I wrote after the fact, but I mentioned in the clip that he was playing the air piano, or I mentioned in my little recap of the clip that he was frantically playing the air piano, and just got hundreds and hundreds of emails that he was actually air dribbling the basketball. So we changed it. We didn't change it because I felt like those people were right. I just didn't want to get 15,000 emails about it.
Yeah.
So I've studied the clip. I've looked at it from every angle. I still don't know.
I think he's air dribbling.
Yeah, but look at it this way, though. If you're air dribbling, wouldn't you do one between the legs or behind the back or something?
You're talking about John Tesh.
Yeah, that's true.
He couldn't pull off an air between his legs if he couldn't even conceive of it.
My whole thing was, when I saw the clip, obviously I've never seen any footage of John Tesh in concert ever. So,
okay.
Well, I never have. So I just thought maybe that was when I saw it, I thought he was playing the piano and that's what he did to get the crowd fired up. Like it was a signature thing. The basketball thing never even occurred to me.
Oh, that's weird. It was the first thing that came to mind when I saw it.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm an idiot or if maybe I had a reaction that was a natural reaction having not seen John Tesh before.
Some combination of both, I'm sure.
So you think he was air dribbling?
Yeah, but I will tell you, I probably was a little predisposed to think that because having read, you know, the words associated with the clip in advance of seeing the clip, I sort of had basketball, you know, in my head.
Oh, because you read it after we changed it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to admit defeat. I'm just telling you that we changed it because I didn't want to get 15,000 emails about it. And,
sure.
You know, it's really it's going to eventually have to lead to us having John Tesh on the podcast.
That would be terrific.
And I would hope that he had a sense of humor about it. I mean, I did call him a mutant James Vanderbeek. I know that probably was an insult. Jay Wolf in Tahoe City writes, very funny trade value piece. Just remember, John Tesh is playing music in Catalina and getting more than you could ever dream of while you're writing fantasy columns about men playing in their underwear.
Makes a good point.
It's a great point.
Makes a good point.
Jerome in Cleveland says, I've watched the John Tesh video about 5 or 6 times, and I must say I love it. Thank you. I am convinced, though, that the gentleman in the guitar violin solo ended with the, quote, we shouldn't because it's so wrong, but we really want to, and it feels so right. Aggressive makeout scene. The camera cuts to Roy right before it happens, so I can't be disproven. Now, if you watch that clip again, think of when the camera cuts away, those guys just going at it.
Yeah.
And it's like 100 times funnier.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
And one more thing to look for next time you watch it. Joe in Orange writes, did you notice the violinist for your second and fourth wedding is dressed like Captain Crunch? And he is.
That's terrific.
Now, I have something to add on top of all these emails. I was looking through these emails last night, and my wife was watching something. I didn't want to put the volume on for the Tesh video because I think I've already annoyed her by watching it 10 times in her presence.
Is that what you think?
So I was watching it with the mute on. Watch the Tesh video without sound. It's a whole new, it brings it to a whole new level, and it might even be funnier.
Wow, I'm going to do that.
Especially when you get to the last minute, when you watch the violinist and the guitarist going at it without sound. It's off the charts. And then near the end, Tesh does this thing where he's like shoving his groin out as
yeah.
he's playing.
Yeah.
Much funnier with that sound. So I'd recommend at least one viewing. Just stick with it without sound for that.
All right.
Time.
So that's, I have three, I'm going to watch it 3 more times this afternoon.
Yeah.
I love the song, by the way.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Tommy in Naperville said, I listen to your podcast where you murdered Dang's name. Like 8 times. It is pronounced Luol Dang, like Pooball. Luol. Pooball.
Okay.
Luol Dang.
Can we call him Pooball?
Pooball Dang. And then finally, a nice email from Captain Pete Phipps.
Oh.
Who is serving our country in Gardez, Afghanistan.
Oh.
He wanted to send his sincere appreciation to us and our BS Report staff from beautiful Afghanistan. I'm without it, the internet on my personal laptop over here, so my routine of downloading the BS Report on iTunes wasn't possible. Due to this devastating setback, morale was low during the first part of my combat tour. I then discovered ESPN.com's Pod Center on the military computers and haven't missed a BS Report since. And he just says some nice things about the podcast as it brightens his day. And requests a little USO tour. Over here as well. The BS Report from a small American combat outpost in Afghanistan? That would make you legit. Make sure to bring Jacko with you, as there are many Yankee fans over here that feel his pain. God bless America, Captain Pete Phelps.
Wow.
I thought that was nice.
Stay safe, Captain Pete.
Stay safe, Captain Pete. And I don't know if Jacko would get through customs. I'll have to look into that.
Does he, would the United States grant him a passport?
Jacko?
Yeah.
I think we'd have to smuggle him like heroin to get him through. Jacko's blowing up. I mean, he's really he's a couple weeks away from USO tour. He's got like 3,100 people in his Facebook group. And ironically, somebody started a Facebook group for you.
Oh, no.
You have like 75 people in it.
Oh, no.
Just do keyword Joe House, and you could join Joe House's Facebook group.
Please don't.
I've been looking through it to see if any of your hookups for college were in it, and none yet.
Yeah, this is very bad.
Yeah, go to it.
I'm gonna
Joe House.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go to it.
Before I let you go, you have like 5 minutes, right?
Me? Yeah, I got time.
What am I doing? Did we hit everything in All Star Weekend?
I just hadn't talked to you, so I didn't know all the parties you went to and all the funny people you saw. But it sounds like we've hit most of that.
It really. It hit all the parts of like running into weird people and all that stuff. But I think if I had written a column, which I couldn't have,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been that good because I had some bad luck with which parties I chose. And then it's very spread out. Like a lot of people were in Scottsdale, a lot of people were in Phoenix, hard to get around. On Saturday night, I went to a casino because I had been told that there were NBA legends at the casino. A couple of cab drivers had told us like they had driven Moses Malone to the casino. So I was like, oh, Moses Malone.
Yeah.
So I went on Saturday to Casino, Arizona. I went with Connor and another friend of ours. And first of all, first casino I've ever been to where they made you pay for drinks as you're playing blackjack.
What?
Yeah. Never heard of that before.
That's not a casino.
Yeah. Never heard of that ever. I gave the lady, I gave her like 2 ones, which she dropped off my kettle and cranberry or whatever I ordered. And she's like, actually, that'll be $7.38 or something. That was weird.
Yeah.
Dealers were a little surly. They allow smoking in the casino, so our clothes just stank. That's
wow.
A little depressing.
That's a little old school.
A little old school because you didn't have the Vegas, the high ceilings. You just had, you know, low ceilings and
smoky
just tons
room.
Of cigarette smoke, yeah. Had a girl. Oh, they had these little things called lucky ladies, this little circle next to where you put your bet, where you can bet whatever, and you get if you get a 20, you get 9-1.
Oh.
And there was this girl that sat down that was doing it and winning, but we almost felt like she was winning because she was a woman. She also complained about getting blackjack at one point. We didn't like her.
Oh, no.
But anyway, the big thing that bothered me was, so I win $60 in this hand. We're at a $25 table playing 50 hand. So I win 60 on this hand, and she doesn't pay me. And this is like we're on a run. I've been playing 25 for about 2 hours, up
yep.
to 50 because we're winning.
Right.
Doesn't pay me. Then I say, hey, you didn't pay me. I hit a 15 and I got a 6. I had a 21, and you just busted. You're supposed to pay me. And she's like, oh, and she brings the pit boss over. Now, in Vegas, if this happens, you know, tie of opinion goes to the guy playing.
Right.
Not in Phoenix, Arizona.
What?
He's like, let me go to the satellite camera. So he disappears for like 5 minutes. So meanwhile, this like throws me off, throws my karma off. I go into a tailspin.
The whole table sitting there waiting while he goes to look at the camera?
No, we're still playing.
Oh.
And I don't have my $60 in chip that I should have won, and I'm mad.
Yeah.
And so he comes back 5 minutes later and is like, oh, yeah, confirmed you were, you know, you did. And now I'm mad. I'm like, you know, it's insulting. I would never freaking lie about $60.
Right.
So I'm in a tailspin. I end up losing, and I went from being plus 400 to down 200, and I got mad. I left and didn't see any NBA legends.
I'm disappointed by that story.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm never going to gamble in Arizona.
Don't gamble in Arizona and don't go to Casino Arizona or whatever it's called because I did not like the way they treated their customers.
I don't like to pay for drinks.
Instead of going to Casino Arizona, go to Subway.
Speaking of Subway, was there any good food out there other than Subway?
It's kind of a Joe House menu.
Huh.
It's a lot of like fried food and stuff that's bad for you.
That is kind of right up my alley.
You know, it's funny. Before the things that Saturday, we got a quick dinner at Stoudemire's, which is near the arena. Apparently named after Amari.
Uh-huh.
So we're making all those jokes like, if I order a cheeseburger, is the chef going to try? Like, we're hitting all those.
Yeah.
All right, last thing. So trade deadline's on Thursday.
Yeah.
I have some quick trades for you.
Okay.
Three-way deal, Sixers, Houston, Clippers.
Sixers, Houston, Clippers, okay.
Sixers get Marcus Camby and Baron Davis.
Wow.
Houston gets Andre Miller and the expiring Brian Skinner, Jason Hart contracts from the Clippers.
Okay.
Clippers get Ron Artest, Sam Dallenbear, Rafer Austin, and Chuck Evans. Artest expires this year, Rafer next year, Chuck Evans next year, and Dallenbear 2011.
How's Chuck Evans playing this year?
He's a backup for it.
Okay.
I think Houston and the Clippers would do it. My question would be, if you're the Sixers, would you want Baron Davis's contract when you already have Elton Brand?
But that, look at that starting five.
Well, that's the thing, and plus they run. Like, he'd be nice on that team.
Yeah.
He'd be running and gunning on Philly.
Yeah, and then they have the bodies. I mean, that combo with that team lines up Iguodala perfectly.
Yeah.
Thaddeus Young and Iguodala, along with Baron Davis and Elton Brand and Camby?
Yeah.
That's kind of nasty.
Elton's out this year, but even with that, they go small.
That's kind of nasty.
I think I'd do that if I'm Philly.
Yeah, sure. Philly to me is the easiest sell. The Clippers is the one I'm trying to think, why would they do that?
Well, they get rid of Barron's contract. He hates Dunleavy. They get something for Camby. They get Rafer replaces Barron this year, next year. They're going nowhere anyway. Dallenbear replaces Camby as a center. And Artest expires this year. So they basically be shedding Barron's contract.
So they get that. That's the real thing. They flush that contract on through.
Yeah. And save some money next year.
I kind of like it. I really like Andre Miller on Houston, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think he maybe pushes them up a level. Second one, Pistons get Amari and Alondo Tucker. Phoenix gets Rasheed, Jason Maxiel, number ones in 2009 and 2011.
I don't like that at all.
For who?
Phoenix. I think they need to hold on to Amari.
Rasheed's expires this year.
I don't think that it's fair to Phoenix to blow up the team now.
Because they fired the coach?
That's exactly right.
I agree with you. I think, though, if Amari gets traded, the Pistons are the most intriguing of all these teams that have been floated around.
I like Jason Maxiel. I mean, that's not a knock on him. It just is not enough. Rasheed and Maxiel.
Are the Suns better with that trade? I think Sheed's washed up.
I don't think so at all. No, they're worse.
Yeah, they're probably worse.
That's 75 cents on the dollar.
Not even.
Yeah, right.
But if you're going to get rid of Amari, I think you need an expiring contract, a young guy who can play in some picks.
All of which goes right back to don't get rid of Amari.
Right. I wouldn't trade him now that they switch coaches.
Yeah, me either.
Alvin Gentry. God, I'm such a stupid.
Your pronunciation.
It's terrible. I think we'll just roll the ball out and let Nash control everything.
Me too. Good times.
Yeah. Nash and I talked about that a little. I don't want to betray his confidence, but I asked him if he thought that he could be a player coach, independent of the Phoenix situation, just in general.
Wow.
And it's pretty interesting to hear his response. I won't share it with you.
Oh, okay.
Well, he said his whole point was
that... Share with me separately.
I'll share with you separately, but his main point was that, you know, he thinks the specialization of coaches and... Or not specialization of coaches, like the not over-coaching, but that the coaches now are so, do this. If this guy goes right 68% of the time, and sometimes you get too caught up in that stuff and you just don't play. You just go out there and play and not worry about that stuff was his basic feeling.
Yep.
I was telling him how Bill Russell was the player coach of the Celtics in 67, 68, and 69, and they won two titles with him. John Havlicek diagrammed plays in the huddle. He was his offensive coordinator. Russell handled the defense. And Russell would do most of the subs, but if he forgot someone, the player would just sub himself in. And they won the 68 and 69 title.
I love that. Is there more of that in the book?
Yeah, there's some. I hit a little of that in the book, yes.
I love that.
All right, next trade. Houston gets Stephon Marbury and Chris Duhon. The Knicks get Tracy McGrady, Rafer Austin, and Luther Head.
Uh-huh.
So Houston basically dumps $24 million off next year's cap.
So who plays guard for Houston?
Be Duhon. Duhon and Aaron Brooks.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Now, what do you think of the rumor trade of Oklahoma City gets Tyson Chandler, New Orleans gets the Joe Smith and Chris Wilcox contracts and a future pick?
What are you telling the people of New Orleans if you make that trade? If you're the New Orleans Hornets, what are you telling those people?
Well, the word in the street is they might not be there a year from now.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Because they need help from the city, and the way the economy's going,
sure.
The city has to choose between. That was one interesting thing that came. There are two interesting themes from All-Star Weekend that I haven't really seen written about. Although I think Adrian Wojnarowski wrote about it in Yahoo today. The first one was that Phoenix was hosting this weekend, and meanwhile their entire franchise is in complete tumult.
Yes.
And normally the
disarray.
Team hosts, yeah, normally it's like, hey, we're hosting All-Star Weekend. And this time it's like you see Terry Porter. Like, literally, I walked by Terry Porter at one point on Saturday, and I'm thinking, like, you might get fired tomorrow. Like, it was just weird. It
yeah,
was weird to see
right.
Steve Kerr. It was weird just.
Well, and how about the fact that the players were obviously pumping up Amari?
Yeah.
In the game last night. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And then the other thing that was weird is that there's just a lot of rumors going around about where this league is going. And, you know, Sacramento might move.
Huh.
New Orleans might move. The New Jersey owner supposedly broke. Memphis is that situation is just a financial train wreck.
So what you're telling me is
that's four teams, and supposedly you know the Cleveland owner is his company is Quicken Loans.
Oh no.
How do you think he's doing right now?
Oh dear.
So I think it's gonna be really interesting next year. With this league, and especially when you're talking about season ticket deposits coming in April and May, which is only 2-3 months away.
So what you're basically telling me is that there's a 100% chance there's going to be a team in Las Vegas next year.
I think Seattle's in play. I think Anaheim's in play. I think Contraction is in play with somebody.
Oh.
Although I think Stern would, that's
I'm
a last resort for Stern.
I support Contraction, though.
I would definitely say Las Vegas, Anaheim, and Seattle. Las Vegas, they don't have the arena, though.
Why? What's wrong with Thomas and Mack?
You went there. They can't have a pro team in Thomas and Mack. What are you talking about? You saw that arena.
I don't know. I mean, it's just bodies in the place, right? 18,000? Don't they get that in there?
It's not happening.
All right.
Does Baltimore have an arena?
Yes, but it's probably not, you know, 21st century ready.
I would say
with the skyboxes and all that.
I'd say anybody that has a modern hockey arena is in play. Like Anaheim, for instance. I've been in that arena. That arena is a solid 21st century arena. It's not great, but
you
can definitely have an NBA team.
Why do you need three NBA teams in like a 60-mile radius?
Yeah, but if you had an NBA team in Anaheim, then you maybe had the Disney connection. I mean, Anaheim is one of the only markets that's been supporting the Angels and the Ducks. Like, they come out for those teams.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's maybe not a bad idea to have a basketball team there.
Is Brooklyn back in the mix?
Brooklyn's so out. Brooklyn's done. Brooklyn's
okay.
Finished.
That's too bad. I like that idea.
And then I guess, you know, maybe Montreal, maybe?
I don't support that.
They have an arena. They have a modern hockey arena.
Yeah, but Toronto's the only, I think, you know, I'm just skeptical about the success of the NBA in Canada. I regard Toronto as the exception to the rule.
Can the success be worse than it is in Memphis right now?
But that has everything to do with the franchise, doesn't it? How would putting a crappy franchise in Montreal bring people out?
I was at a dinner with some people who are pretty connected with this stuff on Thursday night. I won't say who they were.
Okay.
One of the people lived in San Diego, and I never understood why San Diego didn't have an NBA team.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
It confounds me because so much money there, you'd think they would sell out the luxury seats in the court sides. It's just a no-brainer.
Right.
So he said there are two issues. The first is that the weather is really nice in San Diego all the time, and you have a tough time convincing people to come indoors for 3 hours.
Even at night?
That's what he's saying.
Okay.
People in San Diego are people that just get used to being outside and doing stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, even baseball, you're outside. Football, you're outside.
All right.
They tailgate. You tailgate for a Chargers game, you're outside all day. So that's a smaller issue. The bigger issue is that there's not really a financial industry in place. You know, you look at, like, what you have in New York, you have Boston, you have all these financial, these big-ass companies that, you know, can buy suites, can buy whatever. In San Diego, they don't really have that. Like, they don't have, like, these big companies. And that's the problem they're having with the Chargers right now is they don't have enough companies that just have that money to throw around for the luxury suites and the club seats.
Well, didn't they just build a new baseball stadium out there?
They did, and it's, you know.
Not a wild success.
It's a market that seems like it should work, but they don't have the business infrastructure to make it work.
Huh.
So anyway, that's why he said San Diego couldn't work. I thought that was interesting. But something like Anaheim now, you got Disney, you know, it's a market that's proven it could support other teams. Although I, in fairness, I don't know how Anaheim is doing for hockey.
Sure.
I assume they're doing well. I always thought they were popular.
I think that team is good.
But you know, you look at, we all make fun of the city that shall not be named, but they've been selling out. You know, they sell out, they sell the suites.
But that's they're the only game in town.
Yeah, but maybe that's where we go.
Okay.
Maybe you go to,
but that, isn't that the story in Memphis?
I don't know. I mean, I know FedEx is there.
Wasn't that the story in Charlotte? Well, I guess Charlotte.
Charlotte's another team that people think might be in trouble.
Huh.
And that's more because of the owner. So the issue is that a lot of these guys bought teams that were, you know, they were worth a certain amount of money, but it was on paper.
Yep.
So you'd be like, hey, we'll sell this franchise. This, he's worth $1 billion. Actually, he's worth $1 billion on paper. He doesn't have $1 billion in cash.
Right.
So when these guys got killed by the market, and now they don't have the same money they did, and now you keep reading about this team wants to trim cash, this team's afraid to take on money. It's all because the salary cap's going to go back $4 million next year.
Well, you know my point of view as it relates to all of that. I mean, the idea that a person owns a sports team for the, you know, to make money on it is something
right.
I think is just preposterous. It violates what I regard as the social contract between the city and the team, because you know the cities go out of their way and bend over backwards with the infrastructure, with the the direct financial support, the public money in so many of these instances, and it's been demonstrated that the economics behind a sports franchise doesn't necessarily impact the community in a way that like the Seattle baseball stadium was supposed to bring all this development that never proved out. So
yeah, it's a racket is what it is.
That's my point of view.
And we know this now. We didn't know this. You know, I think people, the first big thing was Camden Yards. Kind of rejuvenated that area and became a big deal and got a lot of play. Well, what's Camden Yards doing right now?
Well, I mean, they put the football stadium out there, too. So the combination of football and baseball there. But that's not really much of a residential area. And it's sort of, you know, in a weird section of the downtown.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, that led to Pac Bell. Pac Bell rejuvenated the area in San Fran that it's in. And that, I think, led people to believe that this was now the new trend. We need arenas. We need luxury suite money. If you give us the money to build this arena, we're going to pump up this part of your downtown. And now that the results are coming in, it's really not happening.
Yeah, that's right.
It was kind of like a false premise that nobody really totally knew, but they were able to rope these cities into money. So now you have like Sacramento, who they want a new stadium, and they're like, we can't survive here. We need a new stadium. And Sacramento's probably looking at it thinking, well, why? It's not happening anywhere else. Why should we give you $500 million?
Yeah, we could use that money on schools, if that's okay.
Yeah. Thanks for your offer.
Right.
We're gonna resist the urge to watch Beno Udrih for the next 5 years. So anyway, I don't really know where this is going, but I think we're going to start seeing the effects of it in baseball. And then if what happens in baseball is what I think is going to happen, where it's really going to be a catastrophe, I don't know how that plays out with hoops.
Well, it's going to be really interesting come this spring to see the New York stadiums, the brand new New York stadiums,
yep.
Especially with the Yankees and the ticket prices for those games.
Well, what about, you know, I keep saying that the middle class of, the upper middle class of Detroit, St. Louis, Washington, the White Sox, who's paying $90 a ticket to take their family to a baseball game?
Look, people weren't doing it in Washington last year.
Yeah.
Brand new stadium. You put bad product out, people aren't going to pay money to go see that.
I have two more fake trades for you.
Okay.
I enjoyed that conversation, by the way.
Me too.
I think Greg Oden needs to play with Mike Conley.
I like it. It's a good premise.
Portland gets Conley, Warwick, and $12 million of the Darko Milicic, Greg Buckner, Kaká. for 2010. Memphis gets Jared Bayless, Ike Diago's expiring contract, and Ray Flefrentz's expiring contract that they also get insurance on.
That's a great deal.
So they save $12 million for next year, but also this year, they make the insurance money back.
That's a great deal, I think.
It's a nice deal for Portland, too, right?
Absolutely. Very, very fair to Portland. I don't know that they can do any better than that in terms of what they get in return.
Last one. Cleveland gets Kevin Martin, but they also have to take on $14 million worth of Kenny Thomas and Mikey Moore in 2010, and Sheldon Williams' expiring contract this year.
Okay.
Sacramento gets those Cerbiak, Eric Snow contracts, which expire this year, J.J. Hickson, and a 2009 number one.
Wow.
So basically they save $15 million on the Thomas Moore contracts and the Sheldon Williams part. They get out of the Kevin Martin contract, which is a very fair contract, and they just get J.J. Hickson and the pick out of it.
I'm not sure that it's enough for Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland gets they now have a backcourt of Mo Williams and Kevin Martin. That's pretty good.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, okay, all right.
My question is whether Sacramento is at just an F you to your fans when you already might be moving. And then you're like, hey, we just traded our best guy for nothing. But, again, we don't know where this is going with the economy. So I think stay tuned. It's going to be very interesting next 3 days with the league.
I'm looking forward to it.
From what I heard this weekend, the salary cap this year is 70.9. Next year, people think it's going to be around 67.5 in that range.
Wow.
So you have these contracts that you have already in place. All of them, a lot of them go up in value.
Of course.
And yet the salary cap's going the other way. And now you're talking about the luxury tax implications too. So unless you get around to about 67.5, 68 next year, right now, you're basically screwed.
I wonder if we won't see a whole lot of activity come this trade deadline, but after the season, we're going to see massive moves, you know, in advance of and right around the draft.
Well, what's interesting is that Cleveland has the most to gain with the trade, but seems happy with their team.
That's the thing about them. Wally seems like, and I just read something this morning, the chemistry there.
Yeah, they don't want to mess it up.
They seem pretty happy with him.
The Celtics have nothing to trade. They've offered all of their guys that nobody wants to every team in the league, and everybody said no. So they're screwed. The Lakers.
Don't they have one sort of veteran free agent pickup, maybe?
Unless P.J. Brown comes back, I don't think so.
Okay.
The Lakers kind of already made their trade where they got rid of Radman's contract.
Yeah. I like that trade.
Yeah, it was a smart trade. It bought them some cap space. But I don't think they mess up the Odom-Gasol combo right now because those guys are playing great.
Yeah.
So I don't think they do anything.
Right.
And then San Antonio is not going to take on money.
I don't think they're going to do anything.
So you're talking about the top four are not going to make a trade.
That's okay, right?
Yeah, but all four of them could use something. Like San Antonio's got Matt Bonner, who, you know, who's having a really good year.
Yeah.
But if he's your fifth guy out there in crunch time, that makes me a little nervous.
I don't know. He's been out there in that position lots and lots of times this season.
I'm just
saying.
Don't
you use the regular season for that?
I'd like to see them get one more guy that gives them a little flexibility.
Okay.
In case somebody decides, yeah, the thought of him guarding Odom in the fourth quarter of a Western Conference Finals, I think would scare me if I'm a Spurs fan.
I'm nodding my head, yes.
But then the Lakers are now a guy short because of Bynum. The Celtics had that Tony Allen just disaster swing man. It's unequivocal catastrophe. And then Cleveland. I still can't figure out what their crunch time is in a big series, in a big game, who their best five is. I guess it would depend on who they're playing, but.
So Delonte comes back healthy.
Let's say Delonte's healthy. So you got him and Mo Williams and LeBron and either Z or Ilgauskas and maybe Varejao.
Z or who?
Varejao.
Okay.
Z or Ben Wallace, depending on what you need, and then Varejao. That's probably your best five.
What's wrong with that?
Well, let's say they're playing the Lakers. Who guards Kobe?
LeBron.
That you want your best guy expending that much energy in the defensive end guarding the other team's best guy?
He's the best player in basketball. Why would you try and protect him? What are you trying to protect him from?
Who guards?
He's 20,
who
just did, 24 years old.
Who does Delonte guard then?
Whoever, who's playing, Ariza or Farmer. I mean, it's going to produce matchup problems. Derek Fisher,
I think they need a traditional swingman type who can play D, and they don't have it on their roster right now. And then, as I said, the Lakers, we saw what Bynum could do against Duncan in that game, where he played great defense on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have nobody to guard Tim Duncan, and that Spurs team is going to be sitting there waiting for them in the Western Finals. And
yes,
that's a big issue.
That's great. I can't wait.
It's a great final four. I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right, this podcast went way too long.
As usual.
I think I hit most of the things, but not all of them. Joe House, thank you as always.
Always a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Target to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.